The parashat Kisisa, so the piece where we're holding here is Sfarnu on Pasuk Lamed Aleph Beis. Ra'ei Karasi B'Shem B'Tal Ben Ur B'Chor Mat Yehuda. I have singled out, so to speak, Karasi, I have singled out B'Tal Ben Ur B'Chor to be the one in charge of the construction. So the Sfarnu says, Ra'ei Karasi B'Shem, Ra'ei Vavein, Kiloi Elchinem Karasiv. I didn't just pick him out. Things that are done in Kedusha, things that are done in the way of Kedusha, need to be done by someone who's special. Hamechavin bepulasai, who's mechavin in what he does, she yusik tachta mitzvah. In other words, doing the mitzvah. It's not just simply, okay, we've got ourselves a great carpenter and he's, you know, we'll call up a company that does these things and do it. It because you need to put kavana into big things, you need someone who's capable of it. And that's the pasuk, look, I've singled out Bezalel as being the one that's capable of doing it. In big rebbes, the Belzer Rav, used to build the shul himself in Belz. He built it by himself. I did certain lachas, I guess. I think he schlepped all the bricks, but he cemented stuff in and so on, because he learned big inyanim when he did it, because there was a sense that the kavanas you put into the siyas hamitzvah, into the ma'isa binyan, creates a certain effect. The next pasuk is an ikrim. It says, "Uvalev kol chacham lev nasati chachma." And ikrim goes into a very, very interesting point about something completely different. But he uses this point over here to bring it out. That what is it like? What's the tzar and the einish for a nefesh? That was chayte. So the Ikrim says, "V'inyan atzar v'inyan nefeshu, ki kasher hoya adam bechayev roidif achat taivus v'advar magashmiyim." Let's say a person, when he was living, pursued taiva. V'tiparid nafshos esoyin Hashem isbach, and he sort of pulled away from being involved in mitzvahs and ratzon Hashem. V'targul maser kefi teva guf shefech tiva. And the nefesh got used to doing things that are not in line with its nature. Hine he kishetepored min aguf. When the nefesh leaves the guf, tichsoif loisna advoim shegila v'tateleim. It still longs for those things that it's gotten used to, and it sort of tries to, it sort of tries to reach out to it again. V'hi eilu kelim nasigam. But it doesn't have the means of reaching it. That's on the one hand. Mitzat tiva, and by its very inherent nature, tateli dovek b'tzuras lo yoynes. V'advarim nidol machayim d'shekelim. Its core and essential nature is to try to be in touch with great chachma and with things that are spiritual. But v'hi, but it doesn't have that nature in it. So let's give a mashal. Let's say somebody who's very, very bright and was raised in a way that couldn't bring out his brightness, was raised childish, and so on. So now he's a 21-year-old. He hasn't done anything but, you know, play hide and seek and stuff like that. That's all he's done. And he's now torn. He now all of a sudden, as an adult, he comes to civilization. So he can't go around doing the stupidities he's been doing till now. He also has an inner bent. He likes math, and he's got it in him, but he's got no tools for studying math, and he's really, really a sad case, because he's gotten used to things that he can no longer have it, and that's become his life and pleasure and so on. He has an inner desire things that are finer, but he's never had the ability to do that, and he's stuck. And sometimes you have people that especially like the generation I remember, people who had to go work very hard at a very young age, never able to develop their talents, and they went to do menial stuff because that's all they could do, and they sort of live with a very, very sad sense of having lost out on something that neither here nor there. They are, they're in the blue collar, whatever it is, simple menial job world. They don't, and at some point that's not where they are, what should be, and they don't have the kelim to read something else. A person comes up to Shemayim, it's not automatic. That's a point that people don't say. People think it's kind of just a button where up there there's these great wonderful feasts and so on and so forth. No. What you have up there is Ruchnius. And a person who doesn't have a sense for Ruchnius can't readily relate to it. He says, Ki efshel lahasig atanegahu mishle hirgul nafshe v'kach v'ich natsun zeh. A person who doesn't, you can't get that pleasure unless you use the spiritual pleasures. K'mach omrazal, this is going on our pasik. Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu nosen chachma yishish b'chachma. HaKadosh Baruch Hu endows wisdom only to people who have wisdom. Shenemar u'beleiv kol chacham leiv nosati chachma. That's our pasik. U'ksiv yoev chachma zeh chachimin. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives wisdom to the wise, which means He gives it to people who have it in them, who have the sense for wisdom. They can relate to wisdom. It's not He gives the wisdom to people who possess the wisdom, but to people who are wise people, who are sikhli is thinking people. When I was growing up, there was a man, and I think he was typical of many other people. He was actually a very, very wealthy man. He had started out, he grew up very poor, Lower East Side, like everybody else. For a living, he learned how to fix gas ranges, and he was a very, you know, he was, he would have his wrench and his bits and pieces, and he'd go and unscrew and rescrew and, you know, fix pipes, and that was him. And he made a lot of money. He saved up his money. He bought houses, and then rented him out. He became a landlord, a big landlord. He collected copper, and that went up in price. And he was quite a wealthy man towards the end of his life. And he would, in the summer, his only activity was, he would go to work and fix more gas ranges, you know, in a sweatshirt, and then he'd go back home, and he would sit on a garbage can and outside and toss candies to kids, Tootsie Rolls specifically. So remember, gives to the Ankasa. And my father asked him, Mr. So-and-so, you know, Baruch Hashem, you're comfortable, like Hashem Baruch Hu, he made, you know, was Mitzvah for that. Why don't you go away to a hotel for a week or two and, you know, be like a mensch? And he told my father, I thought about it, but I'm going to sit down at a table in a hotel and I don't know what to talk about. And I can't get the grime out of my fingers, and I'll just be a pariah. I don't have a place there. Here, I sit in a garbage can, toss out chunkies to kids, and the kids, chunkies, and I'm fine. He said, I just don't have the ability to do that. And it was kind of pathetic. The man had the money, but by the time he had the money, he had no way to enjoy it. So a neshama comes there. Valkenti a nefesh mishtekekesh le'aslami ke'echot. The nefesh desires both ends, tzad ha'mayel, tzad ha'mata. Part of it wants what was, part of it wants above it. Ha'echad mitzad tiva, one because that's its inherent nature to want ruchnis, ve'echad mitzad ha'hergav ha'minig, one just got used to the coffee and got used to its taivis, and that's it. Ve'en l'keil ma'shatasik tzad ha'mata, she no longer has any means of enjoying physical pleasures, and doesn't have any preparations to get the ruchnius. This is a terrible, terrible pain. This is more painful than any pain that you would inflict on it. So Yikim says here a profound thought about Olam Haba, that the great pain for the person who has not trained himself into ruchnistika pleasures is to be forced into a world where there are no physical pleasures and he doesn't have the means for spiritual pleasures. There's a story from that I heard from Sholem Shadron. It's a mashal, obviously, and it goes like this. I mean, Sholem took a good 45 minutes on this one. We'll try to be much more brief on it. The Chassidim came to Chedusha Rim and asked him. It says Elizabeth, Rabbi Elizabeth the Daya, who lived with every Zayin in the world, and he was a really, really big Beltaiva. And one day, a Hira Tshuva went into him. He had tremendous remorse, and he died out of Tsar, and a basket came out that Yashrechav wasn't Daya, Yumezumetolam Haba. And it says, Bocha Rebbe cried and he said, Yesh kona lomer b'shachas. There's someone that's been kona lomer b'shachas. So the Chassidim asked him two questions. First of all, why did Rebbe cry? He should have been happy, because Elizabeth Dai was a headed man, a real Gehenim. And in one moment, he was able to save himself. Secondly, let's try to understand it. The Rebbe, the Chedusha Rim, has lived a life as aesthetic and spiritual as possible. So he spent 70 years pure Ruchnius, a lot of self-denial and so on and so forth. And he goes to Gan Eden, and Elizabeth Adaya, who spent his life doing Koldavasa, and he had one moment of profound tshuva, also goes to Gan Eden. Doesn't seem to be inherently fair. Something's not right. So he gave them a marshal, and he said, there was one Subalagala. A Balagala in Europe, someone who drove a coach, was usually the bottom of the barrel. They used to go for long journeys. Nobody knew where they went. Nobody was keeping an eye on them. They could do what they wanted to do. They used to drink also, like for the long, lonely journeys. You know, a Balagala was kind of synonymous with a lowlife. So this Balagala had his share of adventures and good things that he had done. And he was driving in the snow, and he had like a faint cry from a mountain of snow. So he says, maybe I'll just drive on, and everybody hears it again. So he goes down, digs out a person who's like half frozen to death. He rubs him down. He gives him a little schnapps. The person is revived, and he's saved a life. Kitzur, there was a big storm in Shemayim. Some said, you know, he's just gotten his Olam Haba. So he could go straight on Haba. But if you let him continue living, he'll probably squander it away. So it might be for his good to take him right away. So they decided they'll ask him. They went down, they asked him, listen, this is the situation. You either go up now and you've got Olam Haba, or you forego the pleasure and you don't know what you have. So he thought about it, said, no, I'll go home, say goodbye, and then sure enough, at home, said goodbye, and went up to Shammai. So there was a big tumult. They brought in all the Averis, tons and tons of Averis, and then they bring in this mitzvah, outweighs everything, and he gets Olam Haba. So they ask him, finally, what would you like for Olam Haba? So he thinks, and he says, you know, I'd like to have a coach made of the finest English leather. I'd like 8 horses, and a smooth road, paved, and customers all day long. So, the Reich Nishrim said, Yesh kone olam mo b'sha'achas. You get Olam Haba, but what's the quality, what's the world that shayach to you? That you have to build in a lifetime. And for those who might possibly have known of Sholem Shadron listening, then Avshalom went off in his voice that only he had, what the Chedusha Rim, what horses, what roads, the Velta, the Elama of the Chedusha Rim, and this is the part where he went off in his sing-song and so on. But it's a mashal. But what it means is, it's not just, Schar is not like dollar bills that you can buy whatever you want with it and do whatever you want and so on and so forth. It's a world a person builds. And he says, and the more we're attached to gashmistic things, that's the hardship of the transition to another world. And that's why being nena from this world is not a vice, But it stops a person. If a person is into the food, then he's not into something else. If a person is into comfort, he's on something else. A person can eat good food. The question is he sitting and thinking about it and engaging in it, or is it something that it's not taking up any part of his heart, his mind, and so on and so forth? That's what he says over here. Veleiko chacham leiv means there's a person becomes a ruchnistic person. That's really what it depends on. Okay, next pasuk it says ach es shapsoisek dishmayru. So the question is, what does the word shapsoisek loshen rabbi mean? So Ibn Ezra says, Omer chacham echacham adoylim yadua ki shabbos echad shabbos Hashem. But the Shabbos is one, you know, the Shabbos as a concept. Imke matam shapsoisek. So why is it called shapsoisek? I mean, Shabbos is the seventh day of the week. It's not each Shabbos is it doesn't shouldn't take on rabbi. Veheishiv, vavur kishata alfish ne'avalma, hine elof hashvi Shabbos. There's a cycle of 6,000 years, and the 7,000th year is a Shabbos. Gam shnas hashmita Shabbos. Shabbos is Shabbos chol shana. So he says that the all of these Shabbos is a concept that stretches beyond just the Shabbos. It is the cycle of seven. The Shabbosayisek Yishmor means a person needs to dehear the Shabbos of Hashem. V'da, kilo matzonim fosh ma'adim Shabbos ak Shabbosayim. U'machlokis ish b'firis mimachis ha-Shabbos. V'emes ha-divei ha-Kabbalah. V'ak tzichon tikon kashafash m'komo. We'll get to that, we'll see how he explains it. V'yoyim ha-Kippurim says nikos Shabbos rak nisho lel Hashem. Shabbos Hashem means it is of the cycle of Shabbosis, which are sevens. And the Shabbos that is Yom Kippur is for us. In other words, we stop our actions and we do tshuva, etc. and so on and so forth. Okay, the next pasuk is next one's Rabbeinu Bechaya on the same musig of Shabbos Yishmor. V'da, ki mitzvah ha-Shabbos hi ha-mitzvah rishayna shenitna li-Yisrael kodem matan Torah. V'hi'ika emuna, v'ishkula k'nekol mitzvah skula. V'mitzvah ha-Shabbos yamiran mechidosh ha'olam k'nivah sheshit yom yamashvi Shabbos. In other words, Shabbos at its fundamental is a declaration of emuna HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And I want to translate it into what it means for us. Whenever the problem with emuna and is we always talk about things and these are ideas, and these are ideas that were in Chai Sol, did we believe it, did we not believe it, they meant this, they said this. Words have a way of being open for interpretation and counter-interpretation and shittas like this or that. That a yid closes his store on Friday afternoon and does not work on Shabbos, doesn't carry, there's no Erev, doesn't drive, that's a fact, that's a metzias. It doesn't. In other words, the concept of HaKadosh Baruch Hu resting on a seventh is built into Klal Yisrael. However you'll understand the story of Bris Olam, there's something very, very solid about the Kuda of the seventh day being Shabbos. And that's why it's such a significant mitzvah. So much depends on it. In order that a person is called, considered part of Klal Yisrael, for many reasons, being Shema Shabbos is very significant, and it's because of all the, it is, if we're looking for a maisa of emuna and bria sa'olam, instead of words and talk and ideas and philosophies, it's Shabbos. And that's why Klal Yisrael, you know, there was tremendous mesiras nefesh for Shabbos. For many tkufas, Shabbos was the best shopping day, and Shabbos was the day when the grain went off, and so on and so forth. And that's why it was very, very significant. That's why Shabbos was such an important day. By the way, I'm going to go off topic, but it's something that I really, really, I just heard it, and it's something that I think is a significant point to ponder. We're talking about Shabbos. We're now in March 2012, and there was a team, a Jewish high school team, that in Houston, that Orthodox school, modern Orthodox school, and l'shvachom kvodam, they had a very good basketball team. They managed to get up to the semifinals, and the semifinal game was supposed to be on Shabbos. They basically said, we will not play on Shabbos. And basically, they had to forfeit semifinals. They took it to court, and the school reversed its decision. They played the semifinals, they won, and in the finals, they finally lost. But they really were willing to give it up. And, you know, it's something high school kids, and it was a Kiddush Hashem. The lawyer, who fought, there was a lawyer, also a very firm person, who actually probably considers himself somewhat Haredi, was speaking publicly about this recently, and explained how he was the one who had led the battle, and it was so significant, and so on and so forth. And someone asked him about, he was very passionate about the need, someone asked him about, I mean, it's nice, but do you really feel that we have to be so invested in it? And this person was incensed, and he said, a generation ago, people, you know, they had the blue laws where there was a problem with keeping the stores open, and it killed the business, and so on and so forth. You could also say the same thing, that we shouldn't be pushing, and so on and so forth. So, you know, you see that we need to stand up, and so on and so forth. Now, the comparison between earning a livelihood to playing a basketball game was very striking to me. I understand the Nisayon of Shabbos. I understand how, God forbid, when a person's livelihood depends, he can't bring home bread on the table, and what kind of terrible circumstances, versus not winning a trophy in a game. I understand the disappointment. I can't talk about it because I'm not into sports terribly, so I don't appreciate it maybe enough. But still, the understanding the Nisayon of Shabbos, to compare the Nisayon of Shabbos, of bread on a table for a family of children versus playing a trophy in a game, I don't know, there's something about it that I felt, we've become so part of a culture that the trophy in the game is so chashuv that it actually has become a real Nisayon for Shabbos. And I still want to congratulate the boys who held up Nisayon. I think it was a good shim. But it says how low we've gone, that from an Nisayon of a piece of bread, we've come to an Nisayon of a trophy in a high school basketball game. Okay, next piece is Rabbeinu Bechaya, and he says, it says, Beinu Beim Yisrael Oysi Laila. V'loshen Beinu Beim Yisrael, in other words, Beinu Yisrael means there's a component here that just me and Klai Yisrael know. Meiral Dava Nista Nimtza Betzina. It's something very hidden. V'yirmoz Ala'iya Nista Yishevinza Shabbos. There's something, besides the overt part of the mitzvah, there's also a hidden part of it. Kamelach shumitzavol b'noi labda ne'eman, tiska dvar meshabeni b'inach, hinein mistorim enor pelpeh, v'loi nitna likasif. Anytime I speak about b'ini b'inach, I speak about a bris. I speak about something hidden. U'mezeh d'ashra azal masech b'zyantiv, omer shenichoy, kol ha-mitzvah shosak ha-shpok sol nosem fahesya, chutz min ha-shabes shosem b'tzina. Shenema beini b'mei Yisrael siloilo. Ve'eich nitna v'asher shosem, what does it mean it's going to be tzina? Ve'fahesi nitna. So he mechval seres ha-dibris. I mean, it's not seres ha-dibris. Seres ha-dibris was supposedly heard by everyone. Sheshomai z'kol ha-umis. Chana kosev oimem loy mei roish b'seisi dibati. I spoke loud and clear. Chen dover shalom, iduch ha-shem kol malcha oretz, ki shomai repicha. Avol kivnu chachomai inistish v'sa shabes, ki hu hinosein b'tzina, v'kachiz v'minim inechem. In other words, being that Shabbos is a bris, and we'll see in Mitzvah Shem Vayakel, it's a little bit more explicit about the pnimius of Shabbos and the teichen of Shabbos that's given b'tzina. There's an element, and let's give an example so we can associate it with an example that really fits well. A person gives his wife a ring, either Kedushin or engagement ring, whatever. There, in the issues, there's sort of a double tier of association. Part of issues is very begoli. Yes, this is my wife, this is the ring I gave it to her, she has my ring on her finger, and so on. And that's kind of a very golidika aspect of marriage. And a lot of marriage is behesta, and it's bepnimius. So both parts come together. Shabbos, because it's called a bris and a ois, it has in itself a chitzonis component, and it has in itself a component, you know, for loyne sata shakin agarotes of halten agar lord of sulim, the gamba munachaser lishkun arelim. In other words, in Shabbos we say there's a chelik that is begolui, and then there is something which umas arelim have no shaykhus to. And that's the and that's the hester shabbai. So when you say oisi la'olam, we're talking about the pnimis shabbai nachetzonis. And again, in Vayakel, I'll explain a little more, and we'll speak about it when we get there. One more piece is in Eben Ezra over here. It says, "Vayiten omoish kechalis davita vaysin ashel saidus los avonim ksuvim betzvelikim," and then it says, so he says, "Vayite reike moyach, empty-minded people, yitmehu masa moish ba'avonim ve'mlayla." Like, what was Moshe doing there for 40 days and 40 nights? V'lo yodu, they don't begin to understand. Im yamoid sham im Hashem kemispazer v'keifu kiflo shanim. If you're there 40 years and 40 times 40 years, lo yuchol adas chelik me'elav ma'is Hashem drachav, we wouldn't even be able to know one promille of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's ma'isim. V'soid kol ha'mitzvah shetzivahu, and the teichen of all the mitzvahs. Ki yashivu ka ma'isa ika. The point that he's saying is like this. How difficult is it to teach people how to make a sukkah, how to keep Shabbos, how to make tshalom, stuff like that? In other words, the chitzonius of Torah should be fairly limited. A decent handbook that can be read over in a day or two can give a person pretty much a good idea of how to keep the mitzvahs. The Baal Tanya says in some place that the Ein Sof of Torah is not mitzad, it's nigla, because by definition almost that's Sof, it's mitzad, it's nister. So the chitzonius of the mitzvahs are just the beginning. The people think that Torah is how to do matzahs, how to tefillin, all this. So that how to has a clear limitation. Ve'enoi rak haleva. It's only the heart is the ikka. Va'maisa v'aleva loshen lehargil. So I'm not sure how to read this. Basically, what it means is the ma'isa is just there to get the heart going. It's to shape the heart. So when a person eats matzah, he feels the tam of geula, he feels the all the shibud, and it gets his heart going. V'chein kaza beficho belvavcha lasoso v'kadmoneinu amar rachmana liba boy. So the tachlis of mitzvahs lies in the deep understanding of the heart and so on and so forth. V'shirish kol ha-mitzvahs, Eben Ezra says, ad she'yaves Hashem v'chol nafsha v'yidavik bo. The shorish of all mitzvahs is to love Hashem and to be dovik. V'ze lo yesholim im lo yakim ma'is Hashem lo yoynim v'shpolim yedadachot. If we don't understand how HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing, what he's doing, then we can't love him. The klal is, you can't love someone that you don't know. Love is the bond, the deep bond of a person that you deeply know. I mean, one of the stupidest oxymorons in English is love at first sight. Well, a love at first sight means all you love is that which you could see at first. You know, the color of the hair, the color of the eyes. I mean, what else did you see? Chachma, the oimek nafshi, the tuv lev. So love at first sight, yes, means that the love is about the color of the hair. It's about all it can be. A person can't be Ohav Hashem if he doesn't know Hashem. V'kacha oma novi ki im b'zois yishalom yishalol haskov yado oisi. The understanding and of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a deep, meaningful way is what persons is worth praising. Oz yizbar aloi ki Hashem yisechesh v'mishat tzvaka ba'aretz. V'lo yuchal ladas Hashem im lo yeda nafshu shasa v'gufo. And if a person doesn't understand himself, then he can't understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ki kol mi shelo yeda mehus nafshoi chochmas maloi. So another says, if you don't understand yourself, then you can't understand something else. I don't know if he means this because of the fact that this is the first step into Ruchnius, is understanding your deeper self. Or if you don't understand yourself, you'll never understand something outside, because you're seeing everything through eyes that are biased, prejudiced, affected somehow. I'm not sure, but whatever it is, the Nefesh being the first station of Ruchnius that we have insight into, or needing the pure Nefesh, but he says, Misha lo yeda musnafshech chachmas maloi. If a person doesn't understand himself, what's the point of chachma? Vihine, he says, Moshe shisnaba boim shona b'mito. Moshe was a Navi 40 years. The Omad besoides Rabash Gershom Har Sinai, and he knew an extraordinary amount of secrets that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Har Sinai. Vehu amal lefnei Moshe, and he said before he died, Ata ha'cheluis ulai sa'atros kodcho. You've just begun to show me your greatness. Vehine ata hocho ve'al ha'gdus Hashem. V'seo emes k'dus ha'cheke. This wasn't an idle statement, sort of, just kind of to get HaKadosh Baruch Hu to give in. It's emes, because if HaKadosh Baruch Hu's godless has no cheke, then the person's ability to comprehend is endless. A person is always starting the road because it's be'etzim endless. Okay, I think we'll stop here.